As well.
Someone passed these out. This will be our opening prayer. It's actually also the prayer that the church in Chile put together for her canonization. So it's a beautiful prayer that the church, and they still do it. I got it from the website from the sisters in the their Carmelite website.
Thank you, sister. And for those of you online, virtually, if they could see it. I'm not sure if they could see it.
Okay. I'm recording your share too.
A lot of recordings. Let us begin with our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Teresa of the Andes, who by the hand of Mary was changed into a young girl in love for Jesus Christ, you are a model of holiness and a way of perfection for the Church. You knew how to laugh, to love, and to pray, and to serve. You were strong to bear suffering and generous to love. You knew how to contemplate God in the simple things of life. Show us the love of the Father, to live friendship in joy and tenderness in the family. Help the weak and the sorrowful, that the Holy Spirit may encourage them in hope. Intercede for us, and ask for us love and peace. Sanctus et Sanctus, pray the Lipid Flower of the Church,
religious of Carmel, friend of the young people, servants of the poor, pray for us every day.
So we ask very specially, Lord, that you come and make your presence known. Send your Holy Spirit to open our minds and our hearts to speak and to receive your word, which is your Son and his love, just like you did with St. Teresa of the Andes. Please be with us now and lead us to the heart of your Son. Through Mary, our mother. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you very much for having me here. I love St. Teresa of the Andes, but before I start with her, I really want to just start with the foundation upon which St. Teresa of the Andes stood and upon which we stand today, and that is knowing who God is. So, God exists. He is real. We know this. We are here. But even if someone said that the atheists prove that there is a God, otherwise they wouldn't be called atheists. So that just goes to show how much God is just so real, and he is one, and yet he is not alone. He is unity. He is constantly giving and receiving. He's giving and receiving this love, and in this love he created us. And he wants to draw near. No other God or gods from the history of creation draws near to the person, to be one with them. So he desires to bring us into relationship with him. He is the one who gives meaning to relationship, to friendship, and to love. And because we are created in his image, we too have been given this desire and the capacity for this. So specifically for us women, God created us female, and he has given us the feminine genius. That means who we are as women, our qualities, our very essence. When I was, before, when I would hear the word feminine or femininity, I always pictured a woman with makeup and high heels and just... But that's only external. That's not the truth. It's a lot deeper than that. And that feminine genius that God has given us means that we are receptive, that we have empathy, that we nurture, that we respond to others' needs, and that we can endure suffering. We can see beauty, goodness, and truth. And he has also given us a great capacity for deep relationships, for real friendships. And Saint Teresa of the Andes lived fully her femininity. So you know how when, like, after a lot of years, you don't talk to someone, a close friend, and you haven't talked to this person for a long time, and all of a sudden, you come into touch with them, and it feels like you just talked to them yesterday? Like, have you had that experience?
Yes.
That was the interest of the Andes for me. So I have not really, like, talked to her since I entered Carmel, before I entered. And she just, like, came back to, like, she's my friend. She's very much my friend. So tonight, I want to explore just what is true friendship with the help of St. Teresa of the Andes. And this is how she became my friend. So before, when I was one of you, a handmaiden, before I was even discerning, I was visiting, so finally after, like, it took me a while, so after like 2.5 years of knowing the sisters, coming to handmaidens, helping out pretty much every weekend, I finally said, okay, I'm ready for her, come and see. So by now, St. Teresa of the Andes has become a really good friend of mine. And everywhere I went, I would find things of her. So now I'm at a come and see, which is, for those of you that are not familiar, it's like a few days of experiencing religious life with the sisters, with the community, and really very specifically asking our Lord, are you calling me to religious life? So I was towards the end of the come and see, and St. Teresa of the Andes did not show up. I'm like, come on, my friend, like, where are you? I couldn't find a single book of hers in the library, in the retreats library. Like, we have tons of them. I couldn't, like, nothing. It was, like, the end of the retreat. So I was complaining to another woman there that was on the come and see that became my friend, too. And I said, you know, she's not a good friend. And all of a sudden, this sister, who I had not really talked to very much, comes running, like, literally, in that moment, as I'm complaining, comes running and says, here, I have this for you. You speak Spanish, I don't. And like, gives me a third-class relic of St. Teresa of the Andes. It's like, that's, it's, that was pretty good. I was like, okay, you showed up. And that's what true friends do. They show up. They show up, especially our Lord. He's a true friend. So who is St. Teresa of the Andes? How many of you are familiar with her? Okay, good amount. The candidates don't count. can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
On Zoom? Hello, everyone on Zoom. St. Teresa of the Andes, so her name was Juana Enriqueta Josefina Fernandez Solar of the Sacred Hearts. Yeah, and she got of the Sacred Hearts. Like, that's actually in her baptismal record for the city. Like, her parents, they had a great devotion to the heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary. So right away, our Lord had chosen her for his heart. She was born in 1900, so she's fairly saint of our times, pretty recent, in Santiago, Chile, so South America. She was affectionately known, probably because they couldn't pronounce all these names, Juanita. And she was, her siblings and the testimonies that they put together for her cause for beatification and canonization, her siblings, and she herself admitted in her diary that she had a very strong character. And people didn't really get along with her because she was very strong and just was very domineering. She was also very conceited, didn't like to obey, and would easily become angry and then cry for nothing. She writes, with the help of God's grace, actually Holy Communion, she would ask for the grace at every Holy Communion to change, to be transformed. And our Lord obviously gave her the grace, so she learned to overcome her defects and control herself. So there's hope for us. And it truly is, like, Holy Communion, every Mass that you attend, like, make an intention, whatever's in your heart, whatever you need to change, put it on the paten, put it in the chalice, and ask our Lord to transform it, because he can. So she loved the poor as well. There's a story where she found a little boy on the streets, and she was a teenager, and she began to take care of him. So she would fundraise to provide things for him. And she named him Juanito because she didn't know his name, and he was on the street, so she gave him her name, which is really cute. But so she took care of him for many, many years until she entered the convent. She also spent her vacations teaching catechism to the children, playing with them, organizing the choir, and especially consecrating homes to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So she actually got together a group of her friends to go and consecrate the homes, everyone from like wealthy families to the poor. That's how she would spend her summers. She enjoyed singing, dancing, horseback riding was her favorite. Maybe we can show a picture. When she was the age that I'm speaking of. So it's a little pixelized, but she was a beautiful girl, beautiful young woman, and very popular. She definitely had a lot of friends, was very well known, very well loved. By the age of 14, she made a private vow of chastity to Our Lady, very specifically December 8th. She consecrated herself to Our Lady and made a private vow of chastity. And that's really where she resolved to become a Discalced Carmelite nun. So that means a cloistered Carmelite. She entered the convent in 1919, so she was 19 years old. Her birthday is July 13, and she entered pretty soon after that. So she was 19 years old, and really like the fulfillment of her whole longing, her whole desires happened when she entered, and she knew she was now belonging totally to Christ. She knew the fullness, the joy. She calls God is the joy of my life. And so, but she was always very sickly, and actually in preparation for her entrance, she asked Our Lord, specifically also Our Lady and Saint Joseph, to help her because her health was not good. She did enter, but very soon after that, she got very sick. So on Good Friday, April 2nd, 1920, her condition worsened. And as a result, she was given the permission to make her final vows, to make her perpetual profession before death. So as a novice, canonically, you can do that. So she died on April 12th, 1920. She was 19 years old and had only been a Carmelite for 9 months. I'm past that. couple of years. A lot of sisters. Sister Bernadette, how many years have you been in the convent?
Let me see. 52.
Woo! More. 72. Whoa. That's what a gift. So she really, and then Teresa's life was such an inspiration that when she died, so keep in mind she was only in the convent for 9 months, and when she died the whole chapel was completely full. Her family, as you can imagine, had a very hard time. They had a hard time to begin with her entering, and when she died so soon after that, they had a very, very difficult time. But when they saw the crowd in the church, something in them said, this was our Lord's will. This is something that was good. Her sister actually, very soon after, sorry, there's like a weird echo, but are you hearing me okay?
Yes.
Her sister, Rebecca, who was 2 years younger than she was, entered the convent a couple months after Teresa's death and then stayed until she died in 1947. So it was really beautiful, her example. So this is the example of friendship that she gives us. First of all, her friendship with God. So she always strove to live in his presence, to seek his help. Like how many of us, we go to our friends, right? Because we need help, we need encouragement, we need words of wisdom. She went to God first. She always did that. And in speaking to him, in listening to him, she really could receive the grace to keep moving forward in what he was asking. She loved her family and she loved her friends, and she could still let go of those things because she knew there was something greater, someone greater, which was God, the friendship with God. And obviously her love for the Sacred Heart, and this is really where she shares that she received his love and where she could truly be herself, was in his heart. And also, and then the love of Mary, her devotion to our Blessed Mother is so beautiful, so pure, and so simple. She didn't complicate things. She did promise to pray the rosary every day. Her brother, actually, which I'll bring up in a little bit, both of them promised. He was 2-3 years older than she was. She kept the promise. And she consecrated herself to Our Lady and had total filial trust. She really knew that she was Mary's daughter, and that was her security, and she had a friend in Our Blessed Mother. And with her family, she was very committed, very loving, and very dedicated. So it was very hard to leave them, and it was extremely hard for her family to let her go as well. So her brother Lucho, his name was Luis, was a couple years older than she was, two or three, I can't remember. But they were very, very close. Very close. And so when she told him that she was entering the convent, at this point he was studying to be a lawyer, and he was taking philosophy classes that were leading him away from the faith. He didn't tell her this. So when she entered the convent, that kind of solidified his lack of belief in God. Because how could he take something so good from him? So he stopped believing in God for many years, and then she died, and she would write to him so many letters. She actually wrote to him. He was one of the ones that she wrote to the most when she was in the convent. And she would say, Lucho, just the presence and my presence and my love for you, that's how you know God exists. So for us, like when we are present to others and when we love, we don't have to speak theological words on God. We can just, we can make him present and we can show him to the world. So he did leave the faith for many years, but he said that the seed that was planted was seeing the people that attended her funeral. It kept coming back to him, why did so many people attend my sister's funeral? What was it? And obviously now the church is working through her, getting her canonization going. So he was called to witness. He didn't want to because of what the pain that he had in his heart. But as he reread her letters, it's actually one of the most beautiful testimonies. If you can read it, it's in books you can find on her. It's his testimony on his sister. And he came back fully into the church and died in the complete, all the graces of the church in 1984. So it just goes to show her quiet witness and the true friendship. Like she was really a true friend to her brother. And also to her friends. So in reading her testimonies, also many of her friends that had been friends with her, in, especially in what we would call high school, they talk about her authenticity, how she would place others first, and always leading them to God. So there's four friends in particular that she wrote to a lot. Three of them enter the convent. And they said it was actually Juanita's words that encouraged them to enter the convent. Like her witness and her words and her love for God also moved their hearts. So it's so, so beautiful. So this is a quote that she said on friendship. She said, "Let us thank God to have united our souls by the bond of true friendship, which consists in mutually perfectioning ourselves to get closer to God." So that's what her friends shared. She was very much like, it's not about the, like, what are you going to change, but how can you help me change? How can we help each other grow? And that's the true friendship, is to be able to be honest with each other. And like when you have a good friend and you know and you trust, you can hear those words, right? You can hear like the hard words of, you're not doing something right, or what are you doing? And like that's true friendship. Obviously, because you have that trust, you're helping each other grow closer to God. And that's the key right there. As you think like on your own friendships, when they have not been good or true, why? So I know for myself, so I used to work down the hill in the film industry. And when I was living there, I had a lot of friends. And when my brother got sick, or he was diagnosed with cancer, in about a month, out of these like 70 friends that I had, 85% of them wouldn't talk to me. And it really, I think if it wouldn't have been for our Lord, so at that time in my life is when I really started praying more and going, the only place where I could find peace during this difficult time was in the church. And who was there? Obviously our Lord. That's who I was seeking. I was seeking our Lord who could be my strength and my help. But if it wouldn't have been for our Lord, I think I would have gotten really depressed and discouraged. Like just the lack of friendship which was a shock to me. I thought they were my friends. But what was it though? And as I, over the years, I've reflected back, and it really was like when the friendship that was possessive or that was that lacked freedom, that was not honest, that was not true, that needed to prove, like, with the tender, I needed to prove myself. Like, is that true friendship? And it's really like the times of when we know, like, oh, I have to dress a certain way, I have to choose these things or go with the latest trend or opinion just to fit in. Where does that lead us? Where does that lead your heart eventually? And for me, it was very clear, 85% of it was gone. So it was really a beautiful grace, though, in that, even in the sadness of that, because it made me realize who my true friends were and who my true friend is. So we tend to look outside of ourselves for that approval, for to be recognized, to be seen as good, to be noticed, when we have a God who's constantly doing that. And the thing is, we're all human beings. Even the person that loves you the most could never fully understand you or know you. But God does. And I think that's what St. Teresa of the Andes teaches us, is go to our Lord first. He will give you good friendships. But he will also ask you to sacrifice. And that's also a piece as well. Like, what are the... because we can only find our true identity in Christ when we start going off of that. What are those things that are drawing us? And what is it leading us to? So really to ask them to reflect on the times where I don't feel peace or I don't feel good enough or whatever lie is coming up, especially when you're around your friends, ask our Lord to show you, to reveal it, and then to speak his truth. Because who he created you to be is someone who is true and good and beautiful. And when we see ourselves in his gaze, there's actually, when I was preparing for final vows, there was a, because it was really just a time the sisters can all attest, it's not, the evil one is obviously very angry that we're going to consecrate our lives to God. So it's definitely a challenging time in many different ways. And the evil one is attacking in different ways. So a lot of it was that I was hearing in my own mind was, I'm not good enough for this. And I, like, who am I? Like, what am I? Like, what can I do? And yet, there was this Bible verse. It's in the Song of Songs towards the end. And depends on the translation you have. But it says, then I was in his eyes and I found peace. And that's really, like, that's our true and good friend. How does he see you? Like, when you're not feeling good, when others are not accepting you, when you feel like you're not good enough, and when you're hearing those lies, seek his gaze. Seek our Lord. How does he see you? How does he speak to you? And if it's still those lies, recognize them as lies and reject them and ask him to speak and speak clearly and keep asking him. He will. And sometimes just our own blocks that keep him. But he's patient. He's very persevering. So please keep asking our Lord, but see yourself through him. I love the scripture passage about friendship, and you all have probably heard it, but it's so beautiful. It says, faithful friends are a sturdy shelter. Whoever finds one has found a treasure. Faithful friends are beyond price. No amount can balance their worth. And now when you reflect on good friendships you have had, you don't have to prove anything. You don't have to show anything. You don't have to do anything. You just have to be yourself. And when you're yourself, you're truly received. And then there's trust that grows. There's true love that grows. So really reflect on those times where you don't, when it's taking away your peace and that joy, and why, and then bring it back to our Lord and see, like, what are the things he's asking me to do, and what friends is he asking me to foster, to keep growing in relationship with, and which ones is he asking me to let go? Which ones are separating you from our Lord? Because really, truly, a good friend helps us to be ourselves, to be authentic, and to keep growing. Just love, of course, I'm with my communities, we're sisters and we live together, And that's really Mother Mary Frances. She was a Franciscan sister. She was the abbess. Died in 2004. She's written many books that I absolutely love. And one of them is called But I Have Called You Friends. It's a beautiful book on friendship. She wrote it to her sisters, but it's definitely one you all could read because she has so many good points on true friendship. Mm-hmm. One of the things she said is to the sisters, she said, before you can be sisters, you need to be friends. And that's really, like, what does that mean? Then we help each other grow. We share in our desires, our values, like what makes me. And I share that and I bring my true self. And in that, I enter into a relationship with them. And also, I can see what is true and beautiful and good about the other. But before I can do that, I need to see what is true and good and beautiful about myself. And it's God who reveals that to us because he's the one that created us with those things. So as the purpose really of friendship is to help us grow in truth, to receive each other where we are. So to not try to change each other, but really to receive each other. And also to receive and give the love of God, which is within us. So our Lord is real. He is in relationship with us. He wants to truly be our friend. Like, what an incredible gift. I think we should just pause and like realize, like, God wants, like, he's right here with you. And he wants to draw you to his heart. To be able to see yourself through his love. Like, that's his desire for you. He wants to draw you, like John the Beloved, and put you on his heart. And not just right now, but every moment of your life. So it really begins with our friendship with God when we know and truly believe that we are loved. And we don't need to prove anything and we don't need to try to fit in. We can just rest on the one who loves us right now. That's the talk. Oh, actually, before I end the talk, there's a reason why I put some things in italics. Because I want you to, as you take this little prayer card with you, to reflect on those words, because that's really what it means to be a friend. Like, you can laugh with each other, you can love, you can play, you can serve. When with good friends, you can do these things. And you're generous in love, and friendship, and joy, and tenderness. So really, just pray through these words. Every testimony that she gave was that they gave on St. Teresa of the Andes, was really about her simplicity and her joy. So for us as well. Thank you so much. I do have two reflection questions. Yes. I do. Well, I have them in the paper written. But I think they're young. They can remember. So just as we split in our small groups, just to really reflect on what it means to find your identity in God. And how does this foster a friendship? Does that make sense? And then the second one is, what gets in the way of your friendship with Christ and with one another? Just in all honesty, what are the things that get in the way? And what is our Lord calling you to do? 30 minutes, that's good.
Happy birthday, sister. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, sister. That was a beautiful presentation on friendship. So as you remember,